Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Menace Program. This is Dan with the forever soulmate and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and I as well wish the body of Christ a Hag Sukkot Sameach, which means have a joyous Feast of Tabernacles, which begins tomorrow night at sundown and continues for 8 days. So tonight we will begin to look at this seventh feast that, as in all the others, points to Jesus for his fulfillment. And if these appointments of the Lord are new to you, well, you can rejoice because you are about to be blessed with more knowledge. We call the feast the Bridges to Understanding Correct Eschatology,
which means the study of the end times.
No, it sure does. And let us pray.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides all our needs. God of our fathers, increase the presence of your divine Ruach over Israel while spreading your protective shelter of Shalom. And encircle also those called by your name with your majestic glory. We thank you for sending your Son as we commemorate his earthly birth tomorrow. We lift up to your throne this week's prayer requests, especially those with serious illnesses, as we pray salvation for our lost loved ones. And may your continued blessing be upon this ministry. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen.
Amen and glory to God.
Okay, how about an Israel update?
Well, they're still going at it on all fronts while the United States is pushing UNIFIL, which stands for the UN Interim Force of Lebanon, to enforce UN Resolution 1701 that Israel and Lebanon signed to keep the peace when the Lebanon War ended in 2006. The resolution called for the permanent removal of all Hezbollah military from Lebanon's southern border up north 18 miles, actually, across the Litani River.
And the UNIFIL was supposed to monitor that,
which eventually they did not, and Hezbollah slowly returned and built more infrastructure and tunnels. Israel certainly knew this, but because there was quiet in that region, they overlooked it, which is why now Israel has entered southern Lebanon trying to enforce Resolution 1701.
And you know, they have every right to do that.
And they must push Hezbollah back. And the United States and the UN know Israel won't stop till this is accomplished. So finally, they're sending in UN troops. However, some have been caught in the crosshairs, and Israel says to get out of harm's way. For now, they're just too late.
Obviously, the UN thinks Israel will stop rather than hurt UN troops.
Kind of a sneaky tactic. So we'll see what happens.
Well, because Hezbollah continues firing missiles into Israel.
They do. And recently there have been a few Israeli casualties and injuries. However, the 320 strikes on Yom Kippur, they're being hailed as another miracle from God, because just one Hezbollah drone was able to escape through Israel's defense system due to much overwhelming. And they struck a home for the elderly, and some were even Holocaust survivors.
But glory to God, no one was injured.
At the same time, two rockets were fired from northern Gaza, exploding in Ashkelon. Again, no deaths, with just three minor injuries from shrapnel.
And we are still waiting for Israel's response to Iran's second and more direct hit attack on October 1st.
Yes, we are. But Biden gave Bibi a serious no to attacking the oil ports or any nuke facility, of which they have two deep underground and four or five above ground. And as an extra bonus for Bibi's cooperation, the United States is sending our big tech, high altitude, THAAD missile defense system to help Israel, along with 100 of our military to operate it. As well, Biden has increased the sanctions on Iran.
Well, now we just have to enforce them.
Yeah. Meanwhile, both the United States and Israel are discussing the more agreeable retaliation, as in Iran's military infrastructure.
But we are not surprised.
Oh, we are not at all. We've been saying Israel would only set Iran back a bit, because we know that Iran is a huge power in the Ezekiel 38 war. And prophecy will be fulfilled.
And isn't it great to know the rest of the story?
It's even greater to know we won't be here to see it.
That's a big amen.
And by the way, there's another new drug called Captagon, made from amphetamines and cocaine, which is mixed by the Hezbollah in the Bekaa Valley in eastern Lebanon.
And making millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. They recruit often from the Lebanon military because their salary is only $300 a month, but $1,500 if you join Hezbollah. Could this be why Hezbollah is now calling for a ceasefire negotiation? Because they know Israel would love to bomb that drug facility. They really know that. And one more bit of interesting news is that an Iranian Muslim cleric says, well, Israelis just had to have supernatural help when killing Nasrallah, who was hiding 65 feet underground along with others.
So they're finally admitting that?
Well, the headline would make you think so. But when reading the article, they claim Israel's help actually came from a jinn, which is spelled J-I-N-N, which means a Satan-type entity.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses and to keep us on the air. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministry.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning. Okay, now let's talk about the glorious Feast of Tabernacles.
All right. First off, it was mandatory, according to Leviticus 23, that the Hebrews dwell in a sukkah, which is actually a three-sided booth with a somewhat open roof, to see the stars for 7 days as a memorial of their time spent in the wilderness,
where God took care of them completely.
And there is a more detailed account of this by Nehemiah in chapter 8, after returning to the land from Babylon, which years later was read again by Ezra. And we know from verse 1, it was the seventh month of Tishrei. Therefore, if you know even just a little of your roots, you know that it was Rosh Hashanah, a new year. And on the second day of this feast, they all gathered to hear Ezra read about dwelling in the booths during their upcoming Feast of Tabernacles. So, let's pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 15, as God instructs them what to do.
They should announce and proclaim it in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in the courtyards or the courts of the house of God, and in the same and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim.
And they still build sukkahs today, as I witnessed when visiting Israel during the Feast of Tabernacles. And some Orthodox build sukkahs here as well. And by the way, some Christians who study their roots do also, especially those with children or grandchildren. Praise the Lord. All right, let's continue in verse 17.
So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the children of Israel had not done so. And there was a very great gladness, also day by day, from the first day until the last day. He read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly, according to the prescribed manner.
So, besides the regular Saturday Sabbath, they would enjoy an extra 2 high Sabbaths, or Shabbaton in Hebrew, on the first day, Tishri 15, which would eventually be Yeshua's day of his earthly birth, and also on the eighth day, which is an extra day to the feast, and just so happens, again many years later, when Jesus would be circumcised.
So, a very important day.
Yes, because Christ's circumcision was fulfilling God's blood covenant, and 3.5 years later, Jesus fulfilled his new blood covenant for all on the cross. And we'll talk a lot more about that eighth day next week. And again, actually mind-blowing to comprehend how God arranged every detail of everything hundreds of centuries ahead of time.
Every jot and tittle, so they say.
And, saints of God, what is also amazing is that the Holy Spirit guides and lights our path for us to figure out so much. As for example, he inserted into Scripture when John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was serving in the temple.
How often we skip over that information.
I know, but everything is there by design. Then as well, he tells us that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her, informing Elizabeth she was also pregnant.
It's all in his word.
And all you need is to be a diligent student. So with just that information, along with some mathematical calendar counting, which I personally did, we can learn that Jesus was incarnated into Mary by the Holy Spirit on the eighth day of Hanukkah, also called the Feast of Lights, which, by the way, is also an idiom for the Feast of Tabernacles.
Because he is the light of the world.
Exactly. And it was all planned out that way, to be incarnated on the lesser Feast of Lights, but then born on the greater Feast of Lights. Actually breathtaking, especially the first time I saw it.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, let's now talk about some of the ceremonies they did during this wonderful Feast of Joy that all points to Jesus, called, we'll start out with the waving of the lulav, and that's in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 40.
And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days.
Okay, let's take this apart for its great typology. Everyone brings a fruit called an etrog, which to us is comparable to a lemon, but bigger and sweeter. Therefore, serving as the fruit of the beautiful trees.
Yeah, trees represent people.
Right, and there are good trees and bad trees. Anyhow, God demanded very specifically, as we just read, that they also needed the branches of a palm and some myrtle, which would serve as the leafy trees.
And also some willows.
So then, the three branches were held in the right hand, with the etrog held upside down in the left. Then they would join together both hands while turning the etrog upright and begin waving the entire, what they call a lulav, in 6 directions.
North, south, east, west, and up and down.
Yeah. And here we see spiritually how it represents a union. After a person is turned right side up to God,
So we Christians symbolize that righteous fruit.
We do. Then we must unite with Israel, represented by the branches. And anyone could choose to serve the one true God by joining in with Israel. So, you see how this lulav ceremony has even a greater meaning for us Gentile believers in Yeshua. Again, the Etrog fruit represents us, when as a believer should, as referenced in God's word, join themselves to Israel, Romans 11, to produce a greater and even sweeter union.
And we're not done yet.
No, we're not. For there are some very unique characteristics about these different components of the lulav.
Again, this was specifically ordered by God.
And for good reason, because of its assortment. So the date palm has no fragrance, but it does have fruit. The myrtle has no fruit, but it does have fragrance. The willow has no fruit or fragrance, but has the sound of the wind as it blows in the breeze, a great picture of the body of Christ in its diversity, with different attributes and also different gifts. But there's still another lesson to glean from this. Even each item is found in various places. The willow comes from the brook.
Myrtle from the mountains.
Date palms from the valleys, and the citron or etrog from very fertile valleys of the deeper lower lands. Again, the body of Christ is open to all walks of life from all over the world. But it's your choice to worship the real God and to be grafted into his olive tree that we read about in Romans 11.
Another ceremony is called the House of the Water Pouring.
Yes, and also unique, this is where the priest would cut 25-foot willow branches.
Wow, that's pretty long.
Very. And then each priest would align themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows.
Yeah, about 30 feet apart.
And when signaled, they would each step forward on the right foot while swinging the branches to the left in unison. As they stepped forward on the left foot, the branches would swing to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward the city of Jerusalem. Now, what do you think that sounded like?
A rushing wind approaching the temple.
Exactly. Meanwhile, the high priest and his assistant had just retrieved a golden vessel of water known as the Mayim Hayim, meaning living water, and that came from the Pool of Siloam.
That was an important piece of real estate.
Yes, because if you recall in John chapter 9, Jesus put clay on the eyes of the man who was blind from birth and told him to wash it off in the Pool of Siloam. And oh my, we could go on another long study just with that information, but we'll leave that for another time. Anyhow, as well, the high priest's assistant, which was a Levite priest, would carry a silver vessel full of red wine. So, as the priests with the willows approached the temple, they met up with the group carrying the water from Siloam. When a trumpet was blown and a single flutist began to play, who was called the Pierced One.
Wow, imagine that.
So the Pierced One would lead the procession as the wind and the water also entered the temple. And by the way, our Pierced One will one day lead all his righteous ones into his new messianic kingdom.
An enormous amount of typology in all this.
Oh, you think? Anyhow, then the other priests who laid sacrifices on the fire of the altar would then circle around the altar, not once, but seven times on the seventh day of Tabernacles, which is also called Hoshana Rabbah, meaning the great salvation. The willow branches are placed against the base of this altar, forming a sukkah.
Again, a very elaborate, huge production.
And there's more. After that, the high priest, along with his assistant, ascended the altar from the east, pouring out the water along with the wine over the altar.
Of course, this pictures Jesus' side being pierced.
Yeah. With the sword, of course, with when blood mixed with water spilled out on the altar of his cross. Then, and this is truly thought-provoking,
they would sing Isaiah 12, verse 3.
Yes. They sang, "Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation."
And the Hebrew word for salvation is Yeshua.
Oh, it is. So think about this. They were singing, "Let us draw water from Yeshua." The details are just so amazing to me. And it was during this ceremony that we read in John 7, verse 37, that Jesus himself proclaimed,
"That if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink."
Wow. This is also when Jesus wrote in the dirt on this day. And I know there's been a lot of questions about that. Well, what was he writing? What was he writing? Well, I've said it before on other programs, but we will cover that again, actually a lot, next week. Because there's just so much more connected to this joyous festival.
Using many other names like Feast of All Nations.
And Feast of Dedication. And Feast of Lights. And the Feast of Ingathering, because it's in the fall. So again, we will finish this great feast next week, and we'll explain in detail the eighth and final day called Simchat Torah, which actually means the finishing of the Torah, and that's when they begin again. But it's also called Shemini Atzeret. But know this right now. You must be sure that you have been born again into Yeshua if you want to be part of the future kingdom, that is. And, of course, that's represented and ushered in by the Feast of Tabernacles every single year. And the Jewish people know that that's what they're celebrating because they're expecting the Messiah to come. And Jewish people that keep visiting Israel because they have family there are coming back to America and saying, "We know the Messiah is coming soon." Hallelujah. So we all know that things are moving very quickly. Again, be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. Well, you say, "Well, I think it is. How can I be sure?" Well, because you'll want to know him more, and with a fiery passion, which means to be in his word, be in his presence, and that's our Bible, because Jesus is the word. So bottom line, more Jesus, you have to be in the word, more Jesus. It's that simple. Just do it. Again, the traditional prayer during Tabernacles is, "Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who provides for me all my needs." In fact, all our needs. The Aaronic blessing, "The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace," that lasting shalom. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, please tell someone about Jesus, and we'll be there next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.